Welcome once again, everyone, to another edition of American Workers Radio on this Wednesday, August the 11th. Well, as you know, everyone needs a vacation and some time to be with family members and friends. That's exactly what we're going to do this week. So I ask that you sit back, relax, and enjoy as we play an edition from last week, which was very valuable and very informative. Until we're back here again live, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of American Workers Radio.
Power
within our door, 15 to 20 million.
Jeff, I am your
future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey, also Northern Delaware, all those places. I'm very pleased to hear from them that they're tuned in and doing their best to help us promote our message. You know, ladies and gentlemen, since 1999, we've been very, very at it as a people on this radio broadcast, prior to the broadcast, and through our radio broadcast, we have been trying to address America's business and job loss difficulties of the last 35 years, so it doesn't continue in the future. It was my intent back in 1999, and it is our intent today. I think that sums up a lot of what we try to do here on American Workers Radio, and that is why many people like our message and tune in and share our message by emailing the broadcast to family and friends. And if you have family and friends that would like to tune in right now, ask them to go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to some people who have been part of that great campaign, and they include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logist, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to be with you and ask you to spread the word about all of our efforts. You know, as every one of us learned in history, poor leadership will see an empire have difficulties. Well, I feel our empire in America is leaning in the wrong direction, and it's been in that wrong direction for several years, and we better fix it before it falls into more difficulty. That's the sad part of the whole thing that we've been experiencing here in the United States of America. And why do I say that? Well, when you look at the debt clock on the front page of American Workers Radio, which is the debt clock presented by the United States Congress and also by the United States government as a whole, you'll see that there's a lot of things that we have to get go and make sure that things happen in a very positive way. Why do I say all this today? Well, because when I look at that debt clock, 36 million of our fellow Americans are documented by the United States government as living in poverty. Very sad statistic. Over 43 million people receive food stamps. 151 million people are in the general workforce as we speak. It was 159 million people in the workforce 10 years ago. What happened is our population went up and our jobs went down. And before it continues, every American needs to really join us to take a hard look at how things in America could change for the better. Quite frankly, in order to get America back to a good level, we need thousands of new businesses to return to America or be opened in America to replace those that moved overseas or were closed during the coronavirus. New industries would help our country greatly. And what would help to alleviate some of the poverty? Well, quite frankly, we need 30 million full and part-time jobs in the United States of America. We would have had those jobs, and we would have continued to be self-reliant in the United States if those industries didn't pick up and move themselves to foreign countries. The aftermath of the coronavirus has really been very difficult for me to watch, for you to watch. It has shown us that if we don't stick together, the United States will continue to experience a lot more difficulties in the future, especially when it comes to so many big businesses looking to do business outside of America instead of looking to do business here in the United States of America, where their customers live and the country is overwhelmed at this point with foreign-made products. Look at the labels, you'll see what I'm saying. So if we don't get to that 50-50 competition that we talked about, that 50-50 competitiveness, we need competition of products so that people have a choice. We need everything to go side by side, not be leaning in one direction, which is leaning in one direction at this point in a lot of places that I go, and and a lot of people that I hear tell me that they too agree very much with the ideas that we went too far. So promoting more American should be the main focus of all of the national media, because that's really what's going to make it happen. Unfortunately, we are being told in the news media it's taking and it's talking nonsense. They're taking away valuable time needed to discuss real issues that would help employment and also life in America. Working in social services, I would say we have to address poverty, address jobs, education, community unity. These are just a few subjects that the news media and also the national leaders and also the National Business Association should all be pushing, because they need those customers to work in America, not just live in America. And with that in mind, I'm going to call on Mark Andel to give a nice update on what he's doing. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Mike. How are you? And I hope Rich is with us, and Larkin. Henry, always thank you, making us sound better than we are. Mike, a lot going on. You know, we're getting ready for our big fair, the Erie County Fair, Western New York's premier fair. Again, almost the largest county fair in the country. 1.2 million people come through. So our team's been working hard. Products was our biggest concern, Mike, again, getting the products in. We're probably 60% there now, and the fair opens next Wednesday, 12-day run. So we've been doing it almost 30 years plus. So we're excited about the fair. Some things that come along with the fair that I'm hearing from different carnies and people that are around the country, you know, fairs, a lot of people are going. People are spending money. They have disposable income, so they are spending money, and they really want to get out, right? But Mike, also, on the other hand, they can't find workers at the fairs, not only to run the fairs, carnies to run their booths, because people don't want to give up their $300, and that's a fact. So very tough times to have a great big event with limited workforce, and the carnies themselves finding people in the state that they go to want to come in and work. And I just talked to one that's at a Delaware fair, and he's going to Tennessee, but he's going to be in the Erie County Fair too. And finding a worker nowadays that wants to give up that extra free money, nearly impossible. So, Mike, that's one thing we'll touch back on. You know, I want to talk a little bit also. I mean, Made in America, the movement's still alive, going well. We've had a nice entrepreneur on my other show yesterday. We kind of started 2 years ago. He's fighting a fight. Business is going well. He's adapting and changing with all these different hits from the pandemic. And it's neat because he's got that can-do spirit. spirit that a lot of Americans are born with. But, you know, on the product shortage, I had a good talk with my lawyer, actually. We were talking about the product shortage. You know, like when computer chips, I had a big talk with West New York's premier Ford dealership. They're one of the largest. They're the top 17 in the country, give you an idea of size. We talked about that computer chip shortage and how they're storing all the Fords down in Kentucky. And them Fords are drivable, I found out, without the chip. But the chip will do all these enhancements, airbags, safety products, so the chip controls all these other functions. Mm-hmm. They're toying with the idea of the Ford dealers themselves, the technicians at the Ford dealers, to put the chips in once they're available. But then there's a huge liability suit. If a Ford dealer, local Ford dealer, puts a chip in, who's liable if it goes wrong and the airbag don't go on? So, number one, the trucks are drivable. They're all down there. They're going to have to be driven back to the factories, these chips put in. But talking about with my lawyer, back in World War One, World War Two, when there's a shortage of products, when there's a problem like this, somebody in Washington, somebody in government in D.C. is put in charge to find the disconnect, research the problem, and find an answer. If it was in World War Two, you know, if the rubber was short, if we had to build planes, tanks, the women had to go to work, you know, somebody figured it out. What I don't like, Mike, is nobody's really grabbing a hold of this product shortage and what it's doing to people. We can't get licorice now at the store. You can't get foam for car seats. You can't get polypropylene. My buddy went out of business, couldn't get pools or chlorine. I could go on and on. We had a place go out of business yesterday with dog products. But why is nobody, Mike, in Washington, why is nobody taking control, having a show, put it on TV, figure this out, what's going on, why, where's the disconnect, especially computer chips, and figure it out, show us, and how we have to fix this problem, because there's a problem that needs fixed where I think Washington, the administration, should put somebody in charge and be right on top of it, because it, you know, if it involved national defense, which it is, you know, they can't finish airplanes without computer chips. This is a major deal, and to me, they're hiding it selfishly for political gain. So that's one major topic I'd like to talk about, get Larkin's opinion and Rich's and yours, Mike, on, you know, this product shortage. I think it should be really first and foremost on the news national level, but somebody should be in charge, and we should dig into it.
You know, Mark, you're absolutely right. The big thing is that for, years, 200 years, America was able to say it was self-reliant. And in fact, in the 60s and even in the 70s, I mean, if you look at some of the statistics of the ships going out from America and being shipped all over the world, America was the place to do business with. Today, 35 years later, we're no longer a self-reliant country. Just with these chips is a perfect idea. You mean to tell me if 50% of them were made here, that company that made the 50% couldn't step up its production and get to making it 70% or whatever? So this kind of nonsense wouldn't happen, where we have trucks and cars sitting on lots, unable to be sold, unable to be used, because a chip is not available coming in from a foreign country. That doesn't make sense to me. It never did.
So, Mike, I talked about, I want, you know, Rich's opinion, Larkin's, on the product shortage and how we should handle it. I want, you know, we're talking about the worker shortage, how these great fairs can't really run right because there's no workers. But then we got a special thing in New York. I think our governor took the blue pill. But he, you know, there's a family leave act now. So if you have, I had twins, so if you have a baby, the wife can get up to 1 month paid or 1 year paid off, you know, free of charge from their employer. And the husband, I just had a great guy left because he gets 3 months off for having a baby. Now me and my brother laugh. I had twins. I was taking a well test that day. A lot of people don't even get a day off. But now, you know, I just lost a good welder for 3 months. He's able to be with his family. Now, I love family, love kids. But 3 months, the worker walks out. All these, the CARES Act, the Family Act, the Heroes Act coming up, all these extras for a business owner to try to keep continuity in a business in these challenging, unprecedented times, Mike, it's just incredible. So that's another thing we want to talk about, these great programs that really don't fit into the working environment of a small private business.
You know, Mark, I can't, I mean, you're like a genius with this. I have to tell you, who comes up with these ideas? to give all this stuff away.
I mean, they're great in Walt Disney World, but I mean, in the real world,
right?
I don't know how
people
we're gonna
make a buck. Washington are not connected to the real world. They get elected, they're pampered, they do whatever they want to do, and they think that they're doing the right thing. Speaking of all these things among the 535 people in the House and Senate, but they're not really going into the communities. How is a business like yours going to pay someone for 90 days to stay home? It's not possible. It's impossible. So, and then if you don't do it, then you are able to, you know, be sued or whatever because you took away a right that the government has given. The government should never, ever get into the workings of a business. They should never force you to do anything.
I just talked to a guy coming into town, a lot of these guys coming in for the fair. I mean, Erie County Fair is a huge footprint, 250 acres, you could imagine, Mike. But this gentleman, I met a lot of guys over the 30 years, so he came in, he said, New York's one of the worst, and probably California would beat it. You come in, New York State Department of Labor comes to you and tells you what you got to do, and he goes, what? And you know what? You do what they say because you don't want the fines. He said, wait, I can't even find a worker, but I got to pay the comp, all these extras, and you know, this Family Cares Act and Heroes Act and all these things, but it just doesn't work in a 12-day event. Plus, with the worker shortage, he was just telling me, it's just crazy times in the United States. Common sense gone. People with free fixed income are coming up with these plans that just doesn't work in the working world.
No, you're right. Oh, man, Mark. You know, when people look, we just celebrated the 245th anniversary of America's independence on July the 4th, 1776. One of the reasons that they came up with this Declaration of Independence is that they wanted America to be free so that England and or anybody else would not have any kind of, you know, control over our country. Here we are, 245 years later, because of foreign investments, number one, because once they invest in your company and they start, they go up like they did with, I don't want to mention the name, but you know where it is. It's a nice place to have a good time in Florida. They went from 10%, 20%, 30%. Now it's 57%. So a person that owns 57% can really have a decision-making part of what happens. So here we are trying to do our best, people like you and I and all the people in some kind of service or business, working with people, and people in Washington are tying our hands. Yeah. We can't do this. And how can you afford that, Mark?
And Mike, I hope Larkin's writing all these things down I'm bringing up. Product shortage, worker shortage, Family Leave Act, these crazy packages they come up with. But also we've got the news. Now, in 15 minutes, I just turned the TV on. I'm confused. A new virus is attacking. Take the vaccine. We got to get more people. Oh, don't people with the vaccine are getting COVID and passing it. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. It's up to you. I mean, New York, I mean, in 15 minutes, I want to know how you guys feel, but I was confused.
I am confused. Believe
confused.
Me.
I mean, what are they selling? I mean,
you know, we're having the same kind of thing here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Nobody knows really what to do. Will the event be affected in a month?
I mean, there's people driving around with helmets on, Mike. I mean, there's people scared, but we're trying to get the economy going here. Common sense, you learned in first grade. You know, sneeze into your hand, sneeze into your elbow. We can get through this, but don't reopen everything. I mean, they're reselling everything, and people, if they thought they were confused before, I'm confused.
You cannot imagine. You know, the founding fathers, God bless them, wherever they are, looking back and saying, wow, what did these people in Washington, D.C. do to the greatest country on earth? What did they do? I mean, our young people, how will our young people, people born today, people in grade school, people in high school, how are they going to be able to afford these things? By the way, Mark, this is exactly the reason that a lot of the companies decide to move overseas so that they don't have to take or put up with a lot of these federal regulations. You must do this, you must do that. And the product comes to America, And a lot of the packaging and all is the same as it was when it was made here in one of our states. And now it's made foreign. People tell me that all the time. When I go even into stores, I look and I'll call somebody who's either a manager or somebody stocking the shelves. I say, are any of these made in America? And they look at me and they say, well, it's all made in America. Take a look. And I say, I'm started to look because some of them just don't understand what's going on. Really, they don't understand.
And you got to be careful. We just got some shirts with the wrong label sewed on it, made in China. There's some crazy stuff going on. I confirmed we are a certified nut house, Mike. That's what I confirmed. I've got super people. We are crazy. If you're in business, hats off to you. God bless you, because you're working, you know, you're new, you know what off to barely make ends meet. It's just a tough environment, but I want to see some change. I want to see some common sense. I want to see some groups, not an R&D things, common sense things. Just,
you know,
wow,
Mark,
where are we going, Mike?
Like, Mark, you now, do you have your stand stocked with people, workers?
Yeah, we're going to pull it off very tight. See, we keep everything open, our stores and General Welding, and we run the fair. A lot of people think we shut everything down, have a good time, have some ice cream at night. We run everything, plus the fair, to gain the lost sales to make up what we've lost, you know, and hopefully grow. If you don't grow, you die. So, you know, yes, we do, Mike. I've got some great core people I can't say enough for that just, you know, we get it done. Let's say that.
You know, even in Washington now, they're talking about the infrastructure bill. And, you know, I am not going to argue that the country needs really to take care of its roads and its bridges and all this sort of stuff. It's been neglected for 25, 30 years already. It is so bad. When visitors come to historic Philadelphia, they say, wow, it was pretty rough getting here. We hit potholes and things like that. They don't have that in Europe. They really keep a watch on their roads and their autobahns and autostrade, the whole deal. They're very, very watchful of that. And especially now in the last 15, 18 years after the wall fell, there's people paying attention to their country. I'm sorry to say, we are not paying attention to what's happening in America. How many people in Washington can we say, get up at the microphone and say, we are going to do something. This has got to stop. Our businesses cannot afford this kind of expense, monthly new expense on them. They can't afford the taxes. They can't afford all the electricity and everything going up because the prices of employees and all are going up. It's not going to be affordable. Now, when people talk about this infrastructure in Washington, I gave my opinion. I want 100% of every dollar, it's our tax dollars, spent to purchase 100% American supplies and to pay 100% American workers. Mark, do you agree with that?
Mike, you can just go on and on about it. You know, we need less lip service and action. And I don't know if you can get that without starting to unite the sides. Do you agree? I mean, we have to start working together as a, you know, common purpose. But I'd like to get Larkin and Rich's opinion on all this.
Well, Larkin will be with us, but Rich is on a slight delay.
Oh. Well, Rich is at his kid's fifth birthday party. He just told me he's not going to make it. And I can't get Larkin out of bed.
So it's the Mark and Mike show. That's all right.
The M&M show today.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I just you stay positive in all this. And my team, you know, they can't be doing more. So, you know, you're good, hard workers. But we talk about, you know, a lot of my team say 40s, 50 years old. But it's like it's that dying breed, unfortunately, that has and gets it and wants to earn a dollar and be proud of that dollar and earn a living and have their own piece of land in their house and just live the American dream. But I just – it's so much has changed you know, and our culture has changed, and I think the media is confusing, and, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion on how you should act, and I think they can get over tech, right? They're walking around with iPhones as a kid. They're hearing so much stuff, so I think somebody's got to start talking in a straight line.
You know, I have to tell you this. many people say to me, Michael, I think that you should request the panel members to be on a national coordinating group, a network, to bring industries and jobs back to America. I said, that's a good idea. The first person I'm going to ask to be on there is Mark Andel. Mark, if you were in charge of helping to bring back jobs to America, attract them up to where you are in the Buffalo, New York area, how would you go about it?
You know, again, and we talk a lot about it, rebuilding the education system, but you know, I'm in the skilled trades. I mean, we're looking for people. It was hard before the pandemic to find a skilled trade worker. Now it's hard to find a worker or a skilled trade. I think these programs and schools, the metal shops, wood shops, industrial arts, became a bad name for some reason. But now they're so needed. I just think on a national level, we've got to get these schools in the high schools. We've got to get kids, like we've always talked about, exposed to working with their hands at a younger age in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade so they can kind of see what it's about, building things, working with your hands. Everything I have has a computer on it. It's high tech. You got to be highly trained these days to be a technician, a welder, a plumber. But all these, Mike, the goal is to get the kids exposed to it. The parents, and parents we always talked about, parents have to allow this and watch what's going on and what people need, because these people are going to make six figures. And the money's going to be there. They're going to have a job that they can actually fix their own stuff at their house. They're going to be highly trained, skilled workers. And to do this, we've got to have on a national level and school boards to make this a drive, like I was involved with the PTEC program, the, you know, Dream It, Do It. All these programs got to be forced and pushed so that the schools at the local level get these going, because we can't just talk about it. We've got to get it happening now, Mike. There's such a worker shortage. People are jumping ship from one contractor to another for a dollar, for $2. The loyalty is disappearing too, Mike, unfortunately, is what these crazy times do. So you break down a good team. If we had a good team, or my contractor doing a house project for me had a good team, but all of a sudden a few jump ship, and you know, because of these times where there's a shortage of workers, the loyalty for some reason isn't there. You know, you can be a great guy, take care of them. You want to offer great benefits, but they put a lot of these things out of touch for us as business owners with the health insurance issues and whatnot. We just can't charge enough at the counter to cover all the expenses and super benefits, Mike. So there's so many things that have to be fixed, but we've got to start somewhere. We've got to support these small businesses. Really, somebody, again, has got to get involved and listen to us, all these businesses and what we're going through, and respect them and realize we're about livelihoods.
You know, Mark, if I was to come up to Buffalo, New York area, to Elma there, is there a political person that I could talk to about trying to get, you know, 15 new industries located in that zip code or within the 10-mile radius?
You know, there was guys along the way. I met Brian Higgins and whatnot, and he's Democratic. But he got it. His father was a bricklayer. He talked to me. But he himself, you know, had mentioned Washington's broke. You know, just nothing's getting done there. He tries to get things done in Buffalo. It's a tough state. They've got to wake up. It gets so political that they actually hurt the people by being too political, if that makes sense, Mike.
Yeah, it does. They're giving you a message of what they want to hear, rather than what's needed for the actual people. You know, I have to tell you a little, you'll appreciate this, Mark. In the last 2 weeks, I had the opportunity to walk through Center City. And there were a number of people that were out with the paper signs, you know, homeless, need money, and this and that sort of stuff. So I said, okay. So I stopped a few of them. Just thought to myself, after the first one, I said, let me stop and see what this person went through. I thought maybe they came from, you know, one of the places of battle. I don't like to mention the names. They came from, you know, where the country has been represented for 20 years, and, you know, maybe they were hurt and mentally disabled. Many of them are not. Many of them are just people that graduated school. They never had any kind of shop. They never had any kind of classes that would help them to, you know, get a job. And as they weren't in the service, And I say, were you in the service? No. When you went to high school, did you learn anything in the trades? Or no, not in our school. We didn't have that. And so you see them on the corner and you say, wait a minute, this is a certain percent of America's population. And yet there's nobody addressing them. They should be pulled in and asked to go to some training programs. I mean, if America went to the, if America had the pleasure of getting more industries, it would be great to have the amount of people qualified to go to those jobs. Another thing which I wanted to mention is, I don't know if you've been hearing this, but in the last 2 years, maybe more than 2 years, we've been bringing in truck drivers from all over Europe. We have drivers coming in from Ireland, Germany, Poland, just to name a few. These are certified people, and the companies that have operations in Europe are bringing those truck drivers to work in America because we have a truck driver shortage, which is almost unbelievable. As long as the people have the proper licensing and they know how to read the map and do the whole thing and all have to speak English and have to be able and eligible to be able to be citizens or aliens if they were questioned. These are people that have no drug problems. They're perfect drivers. And yet they are loading up America's roads with these people, because just like we're having a job shortage of every type in the USA, we have this job shortage of truck drivers. How's that possible?
Right. You know, I've heard the truck driver shortage everywhere across the country. I see signs up. You must have them by you, but billboards. Everybody's looking for workers. There's huge billboards on our Route 400, the 90, just asking for workers. Truck drivers is a major one. But, Mike, you touched on something, too. You know, before training. So if you're giving any free money out on unemployment, everyone sitting idle should be in training to me. So we should have this program, because we talk about the issues and the challenges. I mentioned many today, but we always want to come up with solutions or answers. So, you know, training would be a great answer. You know, you got people unemployed. It's not their fault, possibly, and whatnot. They want to come back to work. There's no work, but let's send them for training if it's in computer skills or skilled trades or management skills, whatever. But always they should be sitting with these extended plans and all this unemployment and free money they're giving out. Let's tie it to training so when they're at some point they can contribute back to society, right?
You're absolutely correct. And I want to tell you that when I spoke to these homeless and needy people on the streets, one had been in a public school where they offered some of the programs, but he at that time was, you know, higher up and looking into going into some kind of a business training. So he was in the business training. But the people who were in the trades really are the people that should be welcomed more. They should expand all those programs in our school, because you can't forget what you learn. If you learn to fix something, you learn to make something, it won't be forgotten overnight. It will be something that they'll remember forever. And this is where a lot of these poor souls, and this is something that I'd like to see the politicians. I really think that all the politicians in the United States House and Senate should be sent to the streets to talk to some of these homeless people standing with us, I'm homeless and all, talk to them to see exactly how their young time in school was used from the age of 12 to 18. How were they used? Were they given the opportunities to do that? I don't understand how it went on for this many years in this country. Now, when you hear about China, India, and all these other places, people are trained endlessly. Their whole goal is train people for the workforce so that when a job is open, we have a dozen people to fill the job, not one or two people. That's a different mentality. We don't have that mentality in America. If there's a job opening and you don't have anybody to fill it, well, you have to bring in some visa person. If you have no people, well, that's a reason the companies are going to move overseas, because you have no workers. With that, I'm going to call on Larkin Conley. Dr. Larkin Conley, how are you doing?
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning, Mark. I understand Rich is not with us. I am standing on the banks of an unnamed river in northern New Jersey, in Lakehurst, New Jersey, on my way to New York and then from New York to Connecticut, unfortunately, for a memorial service and then on to visit family. So I'm standing inside listening to what you both are saying and pretty much agreeing with both of them. The gentleman that I'm visiting here in Lakehurst has started a program where his object is to reduce recidivism in the state of New Jersey. And he's has a little school that teaches people how to work in restaurants from front end to back end to, you know, all the way around the restaurant operation, so that when they graduate from their school, do we have any restaurants out there looking for employees? Well, he's got them, and they're all getting back to work. So it's going to take programs like this, obviously a little bit more involved than just recidivism and just people being released from prison. But we've got to train our people. You have to remember, when Obama was president, it was not cool to be blue collar. It wasn't. It wasn't cool. It just wasn't cool. What was cool was, you know, picking up between $20,000 to $40,000 worth of debt a year, and go to college to only to graduate and find that you weren't qualified to do a job anywhere, and you ended up working in a restaurant anyway. So we've got to make it cool again to understand that building, refurbing, and the art and architecture and design and talent that goes into that is really cool. And, you know, I venture to say that a significant percentage of Mark's welders are artists. I mean, these are people who, can do straight welding and TIG welding and all the rest of that, but they have an artistic bend to what they do. And the talent's out there. We just have to call on it. That's all. We just have to make it important. We have to make it cool to be a functioning member of a wage-earning society. That's all.
You know, Larkin, you're absolutely right. I would say over a longer than a 10-year period, it's got to be a 25-year period, that people were encouraged to be something bigger than what they were qualified to do. It was beneath them to be in some kind of a labor-type job. And some of those jobs pay much better than any jobs that they will find in an office or whatever else. The thing is, it was they were told, don't be a flunky, let somebody else do the donkey work. And that's where the problem is. All the stuff was taken overseas while our workers were waiting for them to get these big jobs. When the stuff came over, they were going to be salespeople, they were going to be advertisers, and things like that. None of that worked out. When the computerization came about in the United States and all over the world, it took probably 50% of those job possibilities away. Advertising became a focus thing. Creative arts became a focus thing where you didn't need someone. Look at kids today. They're 5 years old. They can create anything they want on a computer, on a screen. They know already what they want to do. So America has been behind the times teaching its people to do the things that we need in America to exist on an everyday basis.
But, Mike, you know, the higher-ups, and how you doing, Larkin, be careful on the edge of that river. the stigma put on children and our students from their parents and the national government, if you say the Obama era, is the problem, too. It's just not cool, like you said, you're dirty-handed. But, you know, these people, like Larkin, you used to say, when you turn a light switch on, you want to know why, what's going on, how's it going on. Your brother, I think, did well. But right now there's such a calling and there's such a need for skilled trades. It's unbelievable because as we went through this pandemic, the 17 months, 21 years of change in 1 year, I used to say 20 years, and the change and the pivoting and adjusting we're doing, it's very, very difficult to find an employee, and people are, of course, stealing each other's employees, which is bad and a problem and causes issues inside the company's core values. So a lot going on, but that stigma I want to bring up was put on, which is a major problem.
You know, I can remember years ago that America could proclaim itself as a country self-reliant. Today, we don't have that. How are we going to change this whole problem that we have into something that's not a problem? That's the thing. Going education is number one. The teachers should be asking the questions as they did in the 70s. They ask you, what do you feel you could be when you become an adult? That's the bottom line. They always ask people, what is your future idea about yourself?
And Mike, you know, I always say, you know, be consistent, educate, raise awareness. Well, your show, thank you for your show, because we're educating right now. We're raising awareness, but where do we go from here? It's a great, so we need people to listen. We need to react. We do ourselves, of course, in our families, in our businesses, in our environment. Larkin, you're on the road, or whoever you're talking to, or Mike. That's how we do that. But we are raising awareness of the problems. But people got to take a hold at their levels in office and really listen and realize there's these major disconnects, even if they pick one and spend their term on fixing that one and go to sleep and feel good about it. That would be impressive, right?
You're right. And, you know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I think that every member of Congress should go out and talk to the people who are homeless on the streets and ask them exactly what they could do to help them get off the streets. What is the exact problem? Sometimes few people that I spoke to were very good, and I encouraged them. In fact, I gave two of them a place that they could go for the training. The training places, of course, will cost money, I said, but they do have some scholarships available. And if you present yourself as a person with no money and just coming, you know, off the streets, they may be able to help you out. The thing is, the young people for a long, long time were not encouraged to think for themselves. That's a big problem. And I mean, think for themselves. When I talk to them, they're not, you know, 100% behind it. It's like I talked to a few people. Larkin, I don't know if you were able to tune in at that time. There's a bill in Washington regarding America's infrastructure, which you've been. Did you drive up from Florida to New Jersey?
I flew.
Oh, you flew. Okay.
Just got off the plane. That was an experience in itself.
Yeah.
Just being on a plane, wasn't very full, thank goodness, and it was uneventful.
They had to duct tape that person in the seat in order to not waste money to turn around or stop at a place to land and get the person off. I thought that was funny when I saw that. I thought, oh, my God. But, you know, Larkin, America neglected its infrastructure for 25, 30, 35 years. We've been giving money for all these programs, but none of them said, well, because you are receiving this program, we want you to go to this training, you know, where you'll be able to get a job and get back into the system. Nothing, none of that sort of stuff. Here we are now with this huge infrastructure plan that they're promoting, and it's going to take 5 or 7 years to complete this $1 trillion project. But I said to Mark and I said to our listeners, I'd like to see 100% of every dollar, which is our tax dollars, be spent to purchase 100% American-made products. I don't understand. It's going to be steel. It's going to be cement. It's going to be asphalt. And things like that. We should not say, well, 40% of it is going to be, you know, outsourced around the world. I think that's a bad move. I think we should spend 100% of the money with our industries and 100% of the money on American workers. You know, Larkin and Mark, when you drive down a street and you hit a pothole, it's not a Democrat or a Republican pothole. It's a pothole. And those potholes and those bridges all need to be addressed. Our broadband, internet systems, the whole thing has to be upgraded. I see from the tourists, they have their phone system. They connect it to the American broadband, and they say, ours is a little faster. Ours is a little different. And here we are in the United States of America. Majority of our internet stuff is coming from a foreign country. It's pretty scary. Take a look at everything around you. Take a look at all of your phones, your internet boxes, you know, the whole thing. Everything is foreign made. This is where I mentioned many, many times, we have to get back to a 50-50 balance. So there is no longer a problem where we have to say, well, we can't do it because we haven't done it in 20 years or 25 years. That's been made overseas. It should already be. It's 50% of it's made in America. You agree, Larkin?
No, I agree totally. And I think one of the points that's important, is to, at least to me at this point, is the fact that Joe Biden can't help but shoot himself in the foot. And when he shoots himself on the right foot, then he sits down and shoots himself in the left foot. I mean, when he killed the Keystone Pipeline, he raised the cost of oil, crude oil. It's just going to be up. That's all there is to it. And what is the main ingredient in asphalt?
Yep.
Crude oil.
Crude oil,
so,
right.
It's going to cost us a lot of money to put asphalt down on the streets, because we're going to be bringing crude oil in offshore in order to meet this demand. And there's just no thought that went into the whole process of how we get to where we are and how we survive what's going on. So,
you know, Larkin, that's a very good point. The whole focus of everything that we've done on this program over the years is to try to make things better so that we don't continue to make the mistakes. But there's no national leaders in Washington, and there's no business leaders. A business leader should really be speaking up right now and saying, if you do this, we're going to lose this. If you do this, you cut the Keystone Pipeline, it's going to be another way for us to depend on more foreign countries. More ships are going to have to bring over the crude oil and all. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me. But there's been no people fighting. There's been no lobby that's been fighting for the oil industry that could have said, well, we've been fighting for the last 8-10 years for this and that. I don't know of any group like that. I really don't. And a president or a member of the House or Senate is not the person to do it. They're living in their own world. It has to be people that are in a particular industry. Making of electric products, air conditioning systems, all this should be made no less than 50%. You know what I wanted in America, at least 75. But
Now Larkin, Mike, I'd like to ask Larkin a question. I don't think he caught the beginning of our show, but I talked about, Larkin, the product shortage again, the computer chips. I met with the largest Ford dealer in, you know, one-third of the country last week, and a lot of them trucks are drivable with the chip, I found out, in Kentucky and whatnot, but they just don't have the brains to run the airbags and whatnot. But product shortage is causing such a problem with people finishing products because there's components. But we talked to my lawyer, we were talking about World War One and Two. You know, there was a national leader assigned to the problem like this to, you know, put a team together to investigate what's going on, why there's shortages, and come up with ways. If it was rubber back in the wars, they figured it out. If there was plane shortage, they figured it out. But don't you agree that there should be finding out what exactly is going on, from computer chips to foam, and let the people know, but what are we going to do about it, and how are we going to rebuild and rebuild better?
Yep.
Well, you're talking about an administration that even refuses to address the biggest problem we have, and that is the number of people that are flooding our southern borders to come into this country. They refuse to talk about it. They refuse to do anything about it. They put Kamala Harris in charge of it, and she has done virtually nothing, and they don't intend to do anything and until maybe Election Day. I don't know.
You don't hear nothing about it?
My wife came in and showed me a picture online. I said, what's that? And she said, that's 127,000 Ford trucks parked in two fields in Dearborn, Michigan, waiting for a computer board.
Yep. And earlier in the show, I mentioned the dealer I mentioned with, they're toying with the idea where dealerships, once these chips are available, will finish the truck because they're drivable. But then the liability, you'll love, you know, if a dealership puts in a chip and the airbag don't go off and somebody's in a bad accident and killed, the dealership don't want that responsibility. So there's a ton tied to this. Once the chips are available, get all these trucks back in to fix them. Nightmare for a couple of years.
And what do you do, Mark, with 200,000 models that are already a year old?
Right.
And you want to have a brand new model year in about 60 days.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine what Ford's going to do with their truck business. Just cancel 2022 models and say, listen, we'll just lump them all together.
Yeah, you know, because Larkin, you got a good point. They're sitting there in the sun and the birds are doing their job. You're right. You know, that happens. They're getting old. The tires are going to dry rot. You know, I have trailers that sit on yards, and it's a constant battle to keep clean. And the sun, UV rays are just terrible on anything. So the longevity, nobody knows. There's not an end in sight. Steel raises about 2 cents a day right now. Scary. So this computer chip problem is just a point of it, but they said, you know, all these trucks, like in the Kentucky Derby, I guess they're parking a ton of trucks. I think you mentioned too, Larkin, but this Ford dealership brought that up, but they're about 10 months to 12 months out. Ford is thinking lawyer first, where Chevy and Dodge, I was told, isn't. They're kind of doing things just to try to help get these done, but the chips aren't here yet, is what I'm told.
No, they're not. They don't have the chips. And I don't think anybody can, you know, specifically tell you or guarantee you a date when they will be ready. But again, this is this country. Now listen to me carefully. This is this country being held hostage.
Yes.
To foreigners. We've
absolutely
got all these cars sitting around that will not run because they won't give us the. And by the way, we not only gave them the technology to build these boards, we sold them the rights.
That's the big problem, Larkin. We sold them the rights.
It's a mess.
They can't finish planes, too. You know, I've got articles even for our national defense. So this is a huge problem. Boeing, they're really, to me, not exposing at all.
Boeing has got a whole bunch of equipment in Washington State sitting on the ground that they can't finish. And, you know, no, it's all over the place. Our hard times are yet to come. They really are.
Fallout from this pandemic, Larkin. Amen. You know, I mean, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of the people that are not in the workforce right now, many of them were working in one industry, and when the pandemic hit, they were able to find employment in another industry. So when the first industry went to bring them back, they were already working somewhere. So this is now another problem that we're seeing in the United States. Another big issue that's being addressed is, in many cases, children were home. They were taking care of their parents. Caregivers were not able to come to the homes because of COVID and everything else. And the government began with the program to help children to be paid to stay at home and be guardians of the parents during this time of need. Now, some of them are doing that. Those are people that could go back into the workforce and until the guardians are back on regular schedules coming to the homes, this is going to continue. You have many good people, many good workers that are home caring for sick and needy parents and grandparents. And when the system people from human services are able to come back around again into the homes, those people will be free to go and get the regular jobs. It is a catch-22 situation all the way around. We've been through total, total hell through this pandemic, and nobody is really addressing what the problems is. You know, just what I told you about the people staying at home to care for parents and grandparents and being compensated for that. That should be mentioned in the news media, that people have an idea what's going on. The people who are the caregivers, those are people that are unemployed. They're able to collect the unemployment. And so this is a whole circus. It's a carnival ride of things that will end at some point. I just hope that when it ends, the pandemic is over, we're not going to see something in this country that none of us would believe. And that is no availability of workers, qualified workers. People got used to working from home, don't want to return to offices. They got used to staying home to care for parents and grandparents, don't want to go back into the regular workforce. It is going to be a very difficult situation.
You know, it's
to
tough.
See
if
this
they
end.
Continue to sell fear too, you can't do that. You got to get people up. You got to answer the problem. You got to respect COVID, whatnot. But you can't sell the fear on these news channels that I don't appreciate no more. I blame the media for a lot of what we're going through. But we need to elect qualified officials. They need to do their job. They need to care and find the importance, like Larkin, you would say, in answering these problems. But we've got a long ride, and unfortunately, businesses are getting thinned out as we talk. And it is survival of the fittest, but these are unprecedented times.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. As you travel through the little cities where you are up there in New York, have you seen a lot of businesses that closed forever?
Yeah, you know, me myself, like I said, this week we just had a dog treat place closed. Email-wise, a vendor that we loved, 15 years of business, just said, finally, I just had enough. Lost so many sales last year because nobody realizes if you lose a year of sales, it's hard to make it back up. You know, you've used your savings to get through that tough times, but if the sales ain't here, if you're lacking components, if you're lacking workers, you can't throw it together. So very tough times. Yes, I've seen businesses going out, Mike, right through New York.
Well, I'm going to ask everybody once again, please go out and support all of your local businesses, and hopefully they'll be able to feature a lot more American-made products. And remember that Mark Andel is the king of American-made products. You can go right to his store link from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And no matter what you find on there, Mark will ship it to you directly to your home. No inconvenience. And Mark does the best. He thinks the best. And he always is a pro-American and pro-American worker person. So God bless you, Mark. Thanks, Larkin, for joining us. Until we meet again for our next broadcast, I want to wish all of you the very best. Stay well, be happy. May God bless you and all of your family.
Larkin, be safe out there.